Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this hump day. That's right, it's Wednesday. You have made it. The middle of the week is here. It is May 8th, 2019, and I hope you're having a great week, all right? Just get over the hump, and then two more days, and then the weekend, all right? We plan on bringing some sunshine to your cloudy Wednesday here in mid-Michigan. A bit cloudy, in the low 50s. You know, I'm still reminiscing about last weekend and it being in the 70s and not a cloud in the sky. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. But it's still a beautiful day. And we're in, and the temperatures are at least in the 50s. All right. I can deal with the 50s. It's not the 40s and 30s, especially in May. Right. So we plan on bringing some sunshine to your day with another hot hour of WKAR's Current Sports. Boy, do we got a lot to get to. A lot to get to, folks. I will get to the NBA playoffs today, and I want to make some points when it comes to a few interesting series. The Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets, I'm itching to get to that. You know, that's a series that, you know, at the beginning it looked like the Warriors were just going to just cruise to an easy series win over the Rockets. And then all of a sudden, things shifted to Houston, and now the series is tied at two games apiece. I want to make some points when it comes to that series because some perceptions, I feel like, are changing a bit when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. I want to clear up some stuff there. Also, some interesting NBA playoff games last night taking place as we saw the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers go at it. And right now, Joel Embiid and the Sixers are staring at a win-or-go-home scenario come next game based on what happened last night. And how about the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trail Blazers? That was also an interesting game. Both of them blowouts, by the way. And now Denver really commanding that series. So we'll touch on that, and I also want to talk about, and I never thought I'd be talking about this on today's show, but I want to make a point when it concerns the wife of Steph Curry, Ayesha Curry. It truly blows my mind how this story has really dominated social media since yesterday. Trust, don't touch that dial. I'll get to that. Also, Odell Beckham Jr., says that the Cleveland Browns could be the next New England Patriots. Yes, Odell Beckham Jr., he attended the Met Gala. And the Met Gala is always, how shall I put it, flamboyant, isn't it? You know, it's held out at, you know, at the Met Museum out in New York City, and they invite all of these big-time celebrities in all walks of life and all different areas of entertainment, including athletics. And Odell Beckham Jr. was there. Did you guys see what Odell Beckham rocked? He had on a tuxedo, but not your normal tuxedo because he's Odell Beckham Jr. Of course, it was a tux that had the sleeves, well, the arms completely cut off. So it fit like a muscle shirt, bow tie, white shirt. And then he didn't wear your normal tuxedo pants because he's Odell Beckham Jr. No, no, no. Odell Beckham wore a black kilt to go along with that sleeveless tuxedo up top. And he wore like some army boots to close out the look. And also mixed max shocks. So, no, Odell Beckham Jr. So at the Met Gala, he made this comment concerning the Browns. That's his new squad. A lot of hype surrounded around the Browns based on the talent that they have now accrued over there. But he believes the Browns could be the next Pats. And I also want to address an interesting phone call that I had yesterday after yesterday's current sports and some points I want to make concerning that call. Talk about a tease, right? Trust, you don't want to miss that conversation either. All right, we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. I want to hear from you guys if you want to talk about anything that happens to be on your sports noggin. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call, and we'll patch you right through our airwaves. You can watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. A few of you already commenting as I speak. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and it's an inaugural season. Lansing Ignite Football Club receives the opportunity to play in the oldest ongoing soccer competition in the United States, that being the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. The Ignite will play host to the National Premier Soccer League side AFC Ann Arbor in first-round action tonight at 7 p.m. downtown Lansing at Cooley Law School Stadium. This is the 106th year of the knockout tournament, first played in 1913-14. Can you believe that? That's a long, long time ago. And I highly doubt I have a listener that was alive when that tournament first kicked off. If you are alive right now, my goodness. Wow, you're setting world records because that, again, was 106 years ago. That's amazing. All right, the Michigan State women's golf team stood in fourth place on Tuesday after nine holes of the second round of the NCAA regional at Forest Acres Golf Course. After day two, though, the Spartans will have some work to do to qualify the team to the NCAA championships to be held later on this month, May 17th to the 22nd, to be exact, out in Arkansas. After yesterday's weather-delayed round, the Spartans do sit in ninth place, one stroke behind Baylor and LSU, which are tied for seventh, and four behind Indiana and Illinois, which are tied for fifth place. And, you know, Alec Rio behind the glass, at some point, can we get an update on where they stand? We can just Google that or look it up on the website.
We'll
update our listeners as to how they are doing, because I believe they got that third round underway sometime early this morning. So that ninth place may have changed. If I had to guess, I'm assuming it probably has changed, since the second round concluded yesterday. Okay, Michigan State baseball. The season has been less than ideal for the Spartan men's baseball team, and the struggles continue as they got blanked by in-state rival Michigan. 7-0 was the final yesterday out in A-squared. Four pitchers all put in work to get the shutout over Michigan State, but the person who officially got the dub in his win column was Benjamin Kaiser, who is now 4-0 on the season. This loss brings Michigan State to 16-30 on the year and will come back to McLane Stadium to take on Valparaiso today at 5:05 p.m. So hopefully Coach Boss and his troops can get back on a winning track. All right, the Old English D in action last night. Your Detroit Tigers. But Shohei Ohtani's return to the MLB took the attention of MLB fans nationwide. He scored an RBI off a sac fly as the LA Angels beat the Tigers 5-2 the final yesterday. The Tigers offense continues to struggle as they got only five hits, and Nicholas Castellanos and Miguel Cabrera got the only form of offense on the scoreboard, getting an RBI each. Next game against the Angels, Comerica Park tonight, 7:10 p.m. Of course, you can catch that game on Fox Sports Detroit. Former Detroit Tiger Mike Fiers, he was literally on fire.
Boom. Shazam!
Yeah, Shazam. Boom. We should have had like a Shazam and like a you know, a made up drum kind of joke symbol. You know that, you know, when you make a corny joke and ba boom. Yeah,
I do that all the time. So I gotta cut that.
You gotta cut that out.
Gotta work in the lab a little bit more.
I love Izzo Shazam though. So Shazam, Mike Fiers, he was on fire last night as he pitched a no hitter. As the Cincinnati Reds and they beat the Oakland Athletics. Well, the Oakland Athletics won, right? The Athletics won 2-0 over the Reds, excuse me. He posted 6 Ks in the historic performance. He was on the Tigers roster for one season before being traded to the A's on August 6th of 2018 for two players to be named later or for cash considerations. Now, one of those players ended up being named was minor leaguer Nolan Blackwood. His no-hitter came with the help of a home run robbery, courtesy of center fielder Ramon Laureano. Here is a soundbite of the robbery and the last pitch to secure that no-hit bid by Fiers.
Two outs. Here's Joey Votto. Votto in the air. Center field. Laureano back. Laureano at the wall. He leaps and he caught it. He did it again. This one takes the home run away and keeps the no-hitter. Time in his career has thrown a no-hitter. Tonight he no-hits the Cincinnati Reds. Sensational performance by the A's right-hander Mike Fiers. Wow.
Yes, absolutely amazing that performance last night by Mike Fiers. And in the world of the NBA, in the playoffs, we saw the Toronto Raptors beat the Philadelphia 76ers. A blowout win there, 125-89. Your final, Toronto is now one game away from booking a ticket to the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. And the Denver Nuggets can say the same out in the West as they beat the Portland Trail Blazers 124-98, another blowout win from last night. Denver leading that series, of course, 3-2. And in the National Hockey League, this was a thriller. I actually saw some of the homies staying up late to check out this one, going to double overtime. I must admit, yes, this is when I kind of start to hone in to the NHL playoffs. This was pretty fun. Double overtime win as the St. Louis Blues beat the Dallas Stars 2-1. Ben Bishop, the goalie for the Stars, had a historic Game 7 performance as he made 52 saves out of the 54 shots coming his way. While Dallas could only fire away 30 shots on goal, Patrick Maroon, he scored the game winner after a shot by Robert Thomas hit the crossbar and went behind Bishop. Here's the soundbite of the madness that did ensue.
This is Thomas. Thomas shoots. That's behind him. It's not getting on the roof. Just to get to overtime. Double overtime. The goaltending of Ben Bishop, the St. Louis native, gave his team a chance. With a second chance opportunity. And the Blues are going to the Western Conference Final.
Two best words in sports, right? Game 7. Nothing better than that, folks. And a Game 7 that goes to extras, right? Two overtimes. The Blues advance to the Western Conference Finals despite being in dead last place on January 2nd. That's the beauty of the NHL playoffs, just incredibly unpredictable. Tonight's Game 7 will take place between the San Jose Sharks and the Colorado Avalanche. Kelly Stafford, the wife of Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, says the patience of a University of Michigan surgeon saved her hearing and her face while she underwent a 12-hour operation last month to remove a brain tumor. Stafford says Dr. Gregory Thompson performed the surgery last month, which was complicated because of an extremely rare artery. She has continued to update fans on her recovery courtesy of Instagram. Earlier in the week, she posted a photo of herself working out in which she said she's feeling better overall, but was extremely tired. And folks, there was another school shooting yesterday. This is just really getting out of hand at this point. This time it took place in a suburb of Denver, Colorado. One student passed away. Eight others were injured during the attack, which was perpetrated by two other students, each of whom were apprehended. And ahead of the Denver Nuggets Game 5 matchup against the Portland Trail Blazers last night, Nuggets head coach Mike Malone, he took some time in his pregame press conference to address the incident. Malone, he lives in the area where the school shooting happened. Though his children did not attend that school, his children were on lockdown. Here is what Mike Malone had to say last night.
I just want to start off with a quick word. I think we're all aware of what happened down in Highlands Ranch today at the STEM school. That's a community that I live in. And I know thoughts and prayers are never enough. But, you know, one student was killed, eight were injured today. And from myself, our team, our organization, our thoughts and prayers with all those families, students, school administrators, everybody that was there today, it's a tragedy. And the second thing I'd like to say is just a thank you to the Douglas County Sheriff's Department that was there on top of it in a matter of minutes, and all the first responders that were there. And allowing that not to become worse than it was. But it's a shame. You know, my girls have been in a lockout twice in the last month. And I'm not a politician. I don't have the answers, but something must change. So I just want to make sure I acknowledged what happened today in my backyard. And all those families are on my mind.
So as you just heard Mike Malone say, and I think we can all agree on this, if not most of us agree on this. Another school shooting here in America. Something has to change. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR news and you can comment below the live stream, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, I want to finally get to some NBA chatter. And, you know, we wanted to get to that yesterday due to, you know, the fact that on Tuesday, it was the day after, the afternoon after the Golden State Warriors fell to the Houston Rockets, and that series is now all knotted up at two games apiece. Wanted to touch on that yesterday, but we had such a great time with Brian Nielsen from the Department of Animal Science. He has been involved in the horse racing industry, has been a licensed racehorse trainer since 1997. He joined us
as our in-studio guest during yesterday's show. I'm going to double back and talk about that interview because I had an interesting conversation with a listener who wants to be named. I'll get to that later on this hour. All right, I'll touch on that later on this hour because I do want to clarify some things. Okay? You'll see what I mean later on. But because Brian's interview was so great, didn't get a chance to touch on the NBA. And Connor Mathis now joins me live in Studio S. Connor, I know you've been waiting on this, and I know you're for those who are watching the Facebook live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, I was warned of this. I was warned that we would have a fire drill today, okay? Jamie Paisley came up to me and said, Al, you're probably going to have a fire drill in the middle of your show, but I'm letting you know it's just a drill.
Scared me. I had no idea what was going on. I was looking at the lights. I was like...
I should have given both you, Alec, and Connor a heads up. You should have seen Connor's face. He's like, "Oh my god!"
I'm like over here. Well, no, like,
every
man.
Time I see the strobe and lights, it seems like I'm the omen for this show.
I thought I was going crazy.
We have emergency tests on the show when I'm engineering. We got fire drills when I'm in studio. Right. Man, I am an omen.
Right? No, with Jamie, he came and we passed each other in the hallway. And he's like, "Al, it's just a drill. You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. No, Alec, you don't have to leave. What's that?" Oh, Reginald, well, I talked to Jamie, and Jamie said we don't have to leave. I ran into Jamie earlier on, so, yeah, we're good. We're good. Trust me, I talked to Jamie. We're good.
We'll just have strobe lights with the show. Out of fact.
Why does all this madness happen during current sports?
Why does this happen whenever I'm in studio, Al?
I know. It's just a drill. You see the lights coming through right now, facebook.com/WKAR News. All right, so. With that being said, we're going to talk some NBA now as people are evacuating the building. I want to get to this because, I feel like, Connor, that a lot of people have forgotten that the Golden State Warriors are the Golden State Warriors. I don't know what conversations you have had with people in, who are NBA fans of yours. But, I was chatting with a few buddies of mine and was chatting with my, my stepdad about this. And he believes that this thing is over now. Golden State has shown so much vulnerability. They don't look right in a lot of different areas. Houston looks like the tougher team. And I agree with him there because I tell you what, these last two games out in Houston, the reason why Houston had the edge had a lot to do with how tough they were down the stretch, especially that last game. They just out-toughed Golden State. But, I looked at that last game, Connor, on Monday night, and I said to myself, wow, Houston really played well. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, the Golden State Warriors were still right there. It's not like they got blown out in that game, despite the fact that Houston played incredibly well. The Rockets still only beat them by, 4 points? 4 points. A four-point win. In Game 3, the Rockets beat the Warriors by 5 points. And not to mention, in Game 4... that last game on Monday night, the Warriors had not one but two great opportunities to possibly, I believe it was to tie the game at that point, right? It was to tie things up and possibly push it into overtime where anything could happen. But Kevin Durant missed a great look. And then Steph Curry, of all players, I got more on Steph Curry in just a moment. But Steph Curry misses a look that he normally, and he was given so much space, a great look. That clanks off the iron as well. Houston escapes, and now we look at a tied series. But I'm wondering why everybody is panicking here, because despite the two losses, they were still really close. And now this thing shifts back to Golden State. Panic meter is not that high for me. What do you say?
I don't think there should be panic, but I also don't. The people who are like, "Oh, don't worry about it. Warriors got this in the bag. This is nothing. This is barely a ripple." I would disagree with that. I think Houston is in a position where they could realistically win this. I see the momentum is changing. I see the Warriors, even the game to the Warriors won. Their body language, they're getting frustrated. I said earlier in their series against the Clippers, one of the keys against Golden State is getting them frustrated because their tempers, Kevin Durant and Draymond in particular, they have problems with that. And while with players like Kevin Durant, you know, we always hear, oh, you know, anger is a good motivator. It gets him going. He feels locked in. It leads to some stupid mistakes. Prime example, the end of last game, why the heck did Kevin Durant feel the need to shove Chris Paul on a easy loose ball rebound? Doesn't need to do that.
Some frustration.
It's frustration.
Yeah.
I would say that they shouldn't – Golden State by no means should be panicking, but they also shouldn't be thinking that this is an anomaly. This is nothing.
No, I mean, well, last year, I mean, they were I believe that the Rockets, if they had a healthy Chris Paul playing in that Game 7, I think the Houston Rockets would have booked that ticket to the NBA Finals instead of the eventual champion, Golden State Warriors, last year. This is – don't get me wrong. This is a great – and I'm not saying that the Golden State Warriors are totally fine here and they got this in the bag. Yeah. I'm just saying that I don't understand – the crazy panic that I'm feeling or hearing from a lot of fans who have been following this series. And the fact of the matter is, first off, you look at Houston shooting, and this is what they do. This is what Mike D'Antoni does, right? Houston just shoots a crazy amount of threes. I mean, I think they shot something like 50 threes last game, 40-plus the game before that. That's what they do. That's their style of play. And, you know, James Harden getting the help that he's getting from guys like P.J. Tucker, from players like Austin Rivers, you know, I'm missing one more. Oh, my goodness. Why am I drawing a blank here? Austin Rivers, P.J. Eric Gordon. How am I forgetting Eric Gordon? Eric Gordon has been brilliant throughout this series. He's really been the X factor for the Houston Rockets. You know, and you're looking at that kind of support in combination with the play from James Harden and occasionally Chris Paul. He's got to be more aggressive, in my opinion. You know, it's fantastic, but again, the Warriors didn't get blown out in these last two losses. And this is something that's really odd. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have not been shooting the basketball well. I also want to say this, though, Connor, and this may be a topic for another day, maybe next week sometimes. But Steph Curry, it always seems like, at least in the last few years, Connor, have you noticed that he's been kind of going...
He disappears.
He's been disappearing. MIA. He's been disappearing. He's the greatest shooter in NBA history. And we've seen Steph do some pretty special stuff. But these last few years, it's like Steph Curry just hits the off button and he just goes cold. I mean, heck, Curry and Klay Thompson, for that matter, they combined to just go 13 for 39 from the floor in that last game and 4 for 15 from three-point range. That is very odd. And Thompson was dreadful again in game four. He was 5 for 15, 1 for 6 in three-pointers. And Kevin Durant has really carried this team throughout the series. He's going to need help, though, from Curry and Thompson. I don't know what it is. I think that Kevin Durant, there's been three Warriors that have been consistent in this series. Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond Green. Those have been your three players who have, game after game, showed up and showed out. Draymond has been fantastic. He's being more aggressive. He's going to the hoop. I mean, heck, in that last game when, you know, it seemed like the Warriors were dead in water, it was Draymond Green who led the spark, getting out on the fast break and trying to make something happen. Now, that did lead to two key turnovers in the fourth quarter. But overall, Draymond Green is at least giving you effort, giving you rebounds. He's still that gritty, annoying player that makes him really likable out in Golden State and really, you know, annoying in the eyes of other basketball fans of other teams out there. But Draymond Green is Draymond Green, and he's really stepped up his game. I think if I was a betting man, even though Steph Curry has not been his usual self these last few years in the playoffs, and he continues that trend now, and it doesn't help that he does have and he's battling through this dislocated finger, I'm still not in panic mode with these Warriors. It's still the Golden State Warriors, Connor.
Well, yeah, you brought up two things I want to bring up. One, I think, you know, Golden State has these really good guys, these really good players, Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green. Draymond has been a little bit more inconsistent, in my opinion. I think he can do better than what we've seen. But Andre Iguodala, man, he's the hustle play. He's the guy who's going to get on the floor. He's going to tip the ball. I think he is very crucial to them if they turn this around. That being said, the Rockets, quote-unquote, what we call Draymond Green, the garbage men. The Rockets' garbage men have been out-hustling, out-toughing the Warriors. You see P.J. Tucker last game. He missed layups. He's getting blocked. He's still going up every single time. He's down on the floor battling with Draymond Green for a loose ball. Mm-hmm. He's doing all this hard work. And another slept on one, Gerald Green. He comes in for, what, 2 minutes maybe a game? And I feel like every single time I see him on the court, a three-pointer is going down, or he's chasing down a loose ball, or he's making that last crucial pass.
Yeah,
I think the Rockets, you know, garbage men are picking up the slack more than Golden State's. The other point I want to bring up is Klay Thompson. We kind of see a trend. Like it seems to me like almost every other postseason series, he has really on series, he has really off series. I feel like if you're a Warriors fan, you come to expect that. Klay Thompson's going to have a series where he is the man. You're going to go to him for 40 points, you know, the works. And there are going to be other series where you don't have it. But that's kind of expected from Klay Thompson. But Steph Curry, can we talk about how he is one of the bona fide NBA superstars? But I hear no criticism of him. If Kevin Durant did this, we'd kill him. LeBron mm-hmm. did this, we'd kill him. You saw last night, Joel Embiid. Right. Joel Embiid was laying eggs.
I know. It's the thing. You know why?
And we kill him for it. But right. Steph Curry has gone MIA in this playoff series, now two games. In the series against the Clippers, he goes missing for a game.
Yep.
Last postseason, he goes missing for games, and no one says a thing to him or says a bad word about him.
We know why.
And it's because
it's a combination of two things. One, he's the NBA nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Steph Curry. You know, he's like he's America's sweetheart. He's the America's sweetheart of the National Basketball Association. Which makes it really hard to criticize a guy. It's like, oh man, I really want to just go at him right now. But my goodness, Steph is just such a nice guy. He's just he handles himself so well on the court, so well off the court. You know, he's so lovable. Number two, the fact that he is no longer the best player on that Golden State Warriors roster. That's Kevin Durant now. The baton has been passed now. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, that is his team. So just like, you know, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, the point they were making the other day when discussing Kyrie Irving and what's happening with the Boston Celtics right now, you know, the fact that Kyrie Irving wanted to leave LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and have his moment with his team, that being out in Boston. When you are the guy, when you become the guy, you get all the praise, maybe too much praise when the team is doing well, and you get all of the criticism, maybe too much criticism when the team is performing badly. So when you're that guy, I just don't think Steph Curry is that guy anymore on the Warriors roster.
The other thing that just ticks me off too is you see after the last game, the game before, mm-hmm. where he doesn't do well, and immediately the excuse, oh, his fingers hurt. I'm sorry, but we don't give this credence to all these other players. We didn't give this credence in back in the San Antonio final when LeBron James kind of, oh, well, LeBron cramped up. We can't expect him to do it all. Or you know, it's just bothersome. I mean, if he's the best shooter of all time, you have to act like it. I mean, he deserves the criticism. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. It's just, and again, it's for those two factors, mm-hmm. I believe. Last point I want to make. Ayesha Curry.
Oh, boy.
She is the wife of Steph Curry. And I must admit, I was quite surprised at the quote. And it's kind of twofold for me. I was surprised at the quote. And I was also, in turn, not surprised at how it did blow up in hindsight. And hindsight is 2020, right? But if you haven't heard, Ayesha Curry, she has been all over social media. If you're not on social media, if you're not on Twitter or Instagram or just some form of social media, I don't know how you have not seen this, if this is new news to you. But Ayesha Curry has had everybody buzzing after an appearance on the Red Table talk show on Monday. And if you don't know what that is a show on Facebook. It's a Facebook watch series hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith, Willow Smith, and Adrian Banfield Norris. Jada, of course, is the wife of famed actor and hip-hop artist Will Smith. Willow Smith is Jada and Will's daughter, and Adrian Banfield Norris is the mother of Jada. So this show is blown up. It's become incredibly popular. I've seen a few episodes. It's great. It really is great. And every once in a while, it generates some interesting news and quotes. So they had Ayesha Curry on the show. I also believe that they had Steph's mother, Steph Curry's mother, on the show as well. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because after addressing the topic of women approaching her husband and Steph Curry, you know, Steph Curry gets a lot of attention from the honeys, I guess. You know, he's a big face of the league. He's always in the news. He's one of the most dynamic players we've ever seen in NBA history. With that comes, you know, women who are going to try to holler at him, even though he is a married man. So Ayesha talked about that, and she revealed what else irks her. Quote, something that really bothers me and honestly has given me a sense of a little bit of an insecurity is the fact that, yeah, there are all these women like throwing themselves at him. But me, like the past 10 years, I don't have any of that. She goes on to say, quote, I have zero. This sounds weird, but like male attention. And so then I begin to internalize it. And I'm like, is something wrong with me? End quote. Again, that's a direct quote from Ayesha Curry, the wife of famed baller Steph Curry, on the Red Table Talk Facebook Watch series hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith. And, you know, this really just kind of puts in perspective just how shall I put this? Just how insecure as a society we have become due to many factors, including the egocentric, narcissistic subconscious that gets fed due to Instagram, due to Snapchat, due to Twitter, due to Facebook. Just pick your social media site. We are dying for attention. And, you know, you look at this, Connor, and just, again, brief thoughts before we hit this first break. You look at this, and I say to myself, you're Ayesha Curry. Your family is so beloved, not just in sporting circles, but in pop culture in general. I mean, we look at the Currys as like an ideal family. I mean, they were, you know, childhood sweethearts. They get married. They have this great family. They're doing great things in the community. Ayesha is so classy. Steph is, you know, like I said, he is, you know, the American good boy in the National Basketball Association. And then you have Ayesha addressing, which takes a lot of, I applaud her for this. This takes a lot of honesty to admit this, but it is troubling. It's a troubling admittance on this Red Table Talk show that she looks at all of the attention that her husband gets from women, and then she looks at herself and she feels like there are not a lot of men who are hollering at her, and she internalizes that and says, something is wrong with me. It's just a sick society that we live in, man. You got a great husband, you know, who's faithful, and you got this great family, yet you're worried about.
And she's
about
a successful businesswoman.
Successful businesswoman. She's got a lot of things going for you know, but this insecurity, she still has this insecurity about, well, there aren't men hollering at me like women are hollering at my husband. We got serious problems in 2019,
I don't,
yo.
I don't get how you can be upset that your significant other, who you are married to.
This isn't your boyfriend or even fiance. You have said vows with this man, and yet you're worried about attention other men out there still.
You're upset that he's getting attention despite him being faithful to you, and then you're upset also that you aren't getting the attention that is pissing you off.
So there's some tweets here that I'll just bring up here. And there's so many, as you can imagine. This story has completely blown up, which I also asked a question. Will this affect Steph Curry even more in this series? Because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some fans not in Golden State.
Oh, and Houston. Houston's going to eat this up.
Good thing they're not playing in Houston the next game, right? not in Golden State. I highly doubt that unless there are a few Houston jerseys in Golden State come that next game. But
then those are some brave souls then if they're doing that
they're
at the Oracle. I'm just saying if they're doing
if
it
they
at the
are,
Oracle.
Right. That's true, Alec. Yeah, if they're at Oracle saying, you know, oh, your wife wants somebody else or whatever what they may say. That's just so low, first off, to say that. But there are going to be some fans that do that. How would that affect Steph Curry, who already is not playing well? And we may say, well, Steph is a professional. He's just going to just go out there and do his thing. At the end of the day, these athletes, we forget that they are human as well. And especially when somebody's talking about your wife. I mean, come on, man. That's a line that gets crossed, and that has to affect you. It's somewhat emotionally. I know it probably would affect me. Not even going to lie that this is the story that's blowing up when I'm trying to focus on the NBA playoffs. That's annoying in itself. And just to show you, you know, how this story has blown up, a few tweets here. One tweet reads, quote, "A holy woman like Aisha wants attention from the dogs." Another person writes, "Aisha is married to a great man that she has kids with, but is worried about not getting male attention." And then he adds a confused emoji. Another person, quote, "I don't look for the attention of other men, but it's nice knowing, like, dang, I still got it, regardless of if I have a man or not."
You see,
that's just so, I don't understand that. But okay. Another person tweets, "I can't believe you guys are still talking about Aisha. Leave the girl alone." Another person, "Let her express herself and how she's feeling." So some have Aisha's, you know, back. And another tweet reads, "Having strangers compliment you make you feel good every now and then. I'm in a secure relationship, but others acknowledging me being pretty or smart makes me feel good." And I get that. Compliments
nothing,
are cool.
Nothing
but
wrong with that.
There's levels to it. You know, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you went on this show and said that, you know, yeah, I would like, if some guys out there compliment. Come on, man.
There's nothing wrong with wanting, know, like, compliments or wanting to be appreciated, but it's another thing to be like, I don't want this very same attention to my significant other, but I would love for me to get some of it.
Right.
Like, that's where it gets, for me, it gets, you're sounding hypocritical.
I'm with you, man.
That's why when Facebook was thinking about completely taking out, like, the amount of likes you can get on posts, I think it was Instagram that did that. And honestly, I think that would be awesome, because a lot of that perpetuation of, you know, people thinking that they're better than others is because they get more likes on, like, a post
likes,
and stuff.
They get more likes, leads to an adrenaline rush, and it feels like you feel like you're important.
It's
that can message your mental health.
Exactly.
It's a numerical value.
Right.
So you can qualify
it. You can quantify it, man. We live in 1-6 society today. Okay, so current sports just turned into the Oprah Winfrey Show for about 7 minutes. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll keep it pushing, and I will address some more controversial comments in the world of sports, this time from the NFL. And Odell Beckham Jr. saying that the Cleveland Browns could be the next New England Patriots. Interesting comment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And you know what? I do want to address this because I didn't know about this happening in the world of football yesterday. But Connor Mathis, you were telling me that something pretty big happened in the world of soccer. What was that?
So Liverpool came back from a massive deficit to beat Barcelona to advance to the Champions League final. And so what happened was, in the first leg of their two-leg set here, Barcelona went up 3-0. Really, really tough kind of thing to overcome. Goes back to Liverpool. Liverpool goes up 3-0 in the next set of the next leg of their little series, and they had tied it on aggregate. Late in the game, Liverpool does an amazing corner kick to get the game-winning goal, and it miraculously comes back and wins to advance to the final, 4-3. Bigger story, this is the second time it's happened to Barcelona.
The second time
second
in how many
time.
Years?
Last year.
Last so year, this is happened. Pretty recent then.
Yeah.
Wow. And what league is this again?
A Champions League. So all the winners of the various soccer leagues, they play together in a much bigger tournament to kind of dub the best team in the world for a given year.
Gotcha. Interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not a big football fan. And speaking of football and soccer, that's what I'm referring to when I say it like that, right? Lansing Ignite, want to remind you guys, Lansing Ignite will play host to National Premier Soccer League side AFC Ann Arbor in first round action tonight, 7 p.m. at Cooley Law School Stadium. So it's quite remarkable too. You know, speaking of Cooley Law School Stadium, of course, that is now the home of the Lansing Lugnuts, and now Lansing Ignite. It's really cool how they just transformed the field from a baseball field to a soccer field. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome stuff. So soccer at Cooley Law School Stadium tonight. And also, a heads up, Alec, I just uploaded a new soundbite that I want to get to after our final break. So just download that. I'll get to that on the other side of this second break. But I do want to address this. Connor, I know you're a big NFL guy, of course, and you know we always have you in to join me in conversation with the National Football League. And did you see or hear what now Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. had to say concerning his expectations, if you will, for what the Cleveland Browns can become?
Yep.
And first off, did you see what the brother had on?
No, I did not watch the Met Gala. I did not even see it, but I've seen multiple people tweeting about it.
You've seen pictures.
I've seen, yeah.
Right, because I didn't watch the Met Gala red carpet coverage either, but I did see the pictures of Odell Beckham Jr. Let's just say he is a man of...
It's a unique look.
It's a unique look, and he is a man of unique style. Tuxedo up top with bow tie, black bow tie, that was normal. But he had the sleeves cut off so it fit like a muscle shirt, and he wore a black kilt with boots and black socks that did not match.
At least he didn't look like Travis Scott. Travis Scott looked like Red Skull.
But the thing is, there were some elaborate looks at the Met Gala this year because I guess, and maybe I'm getting old and I don't know this phrase, but the theme was camp. Now, when I think of camp, I think of camping in the backyard. I think of the woods and roasting marshmallows and singing Kumbaya under the stars. I don't know. I think that's what I think of when I think of camping. But I guess camp means something different because there wasn't like a camping look that I saw at the Met Gala. So, but apparently it means like elaborate and over the top and extreme. So, boy, times change, right? There you go. So that's what the theme was. But anyway, I want to get to what Odell Beckham Jr. had to say when he was interviewed about, you know, his expectations out in Cleveland, no longer being a wide receiver for the New York Giants. And he also made these statements in GQ magazine. So, first off, he says that he is determined to help the Browns, of course. And he goes into a quote, into the new Patriots. That's the reference that he uses to the current dynasty that is the Pats that has won three of the past, five Super Bowls. He goes on to say, telling the outlet, quote, I plan on being there for the next 5 years, there being, you know, Cleveland, and trying to bring as many championships there as possible.
What?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Great job, Alec, behind the glass. But you know,
I'll say this.
I think that the Cleveland Browns are going to be incredibly entertaining. This is a team that has some names, that has some stars that are really talented.
It's got some personality.
A lot of personality. You know, Baker Mayfield, he is a flamboyant personality. You add Odell Beckham Jr. to the mix now. Who else am I forgetting?
Garrett. Miles Garrett's kind of interesting.
Miles Garrett. Jarvis Landry's over there now. This team, offensively, is going to be a powerhouse. But, you know, that's not a guarantee that you're going to, you know, go to the Super Bowl and win championships right off bat. I mean, I just look at, you know, moves in the National Basketball Association, for instance. You know, when LeBron went to Miami, they did not win in his first year, right? It takes some time. Bottom line, it takes some time, especially in the National Football League, and this kind of goes against this word when you look at the New England Patriots and their dynasty of you know, this modern day. But the NFL has so much parity, and it's so tough to build. That's why it's so remarkable what the Patriots have been able to do. It's so tough to build a dynasty because it's so hard to win in the National Football League on a regular basis. So just the fact that you have all this talent offensively for the Browns, it does not mean that, you know, you are guaranteed to win a Super Bowl or guaranteed to become, as Odell Beckham Jr. hopes, the new-look Patriots. But, you know, for me, Connor, I didn't have a problem with his comments.
Oh, no, that's fine with me.
Not at all. I like to hear, especially a player of Odell's caliber. I have no problem with a superstar in the National Football League like Odell, who says that this is what we're shooting for, who has high expectations for this new chapter with a franchise that is not used to winning. You know, instill hope into your fan base, because then they get excited, they buy tickets, they come out, they support you, they root for you. Sure, the expectations rising a bit, that is going to change how we judge your team. But if you want to be named in the elite of the elite, that's the kind of standard you have to try and live up to. And I have no problem with anybody out there. I don't care what the profession is. I don't have a problem with a player out there or an employee of an organization or anybody shooting for the stars. So I like this comment. I'll start with Alec here first. What do you think of Odell's comment, Alec?
Okay, so I was...
You didn't like it, obviously, because of the bite you just played.
No, okay. I was just doing that mainly as a joke, you know, just playing for fun, you know. But I definitely agree that they definitely have that ceiling. But for me, I would like to hear that maybe after a season of success. Like, they haven't even been on the same team playing any regular season games yet, you know. But like you guys said, they have a bunch of all-stars, you know. Like, they definitely could get to that position. But I would like to see a season of that first, with them working together, getting that team chemistry up. I want to see it after a season. But I'm not totally against Odell Beckham trying to instill hope, you know, in his fan base and in his team. You know, I'm
you're
fine
saying
with that.
Temper it a little bit, maybe after you got a year under your belt, rocking
yeah,
around.
You know, okay. You know, because like saying something like as big as like, yeah, we want to be the next New England Patriots. It's like, okay, slow your roll a little bit. Like
I
understand
that opinion. Okay,
yeah, you know, like it's not like I'm completely like saying like, oh, OBJ should be ashamed of himself trying to be too, you know, ahead of himself and stuff. But, you know, I'm on the fence about it. It's not a big deal to me. Like, I'm not going to be tweeting angrily about it using my Twitter fingers, but, you know.
I like that, and I respect that opinion. I see what you're saying, Alec. You have a valid point there. Connor.
I like it, and I don't think he's too far off in terms of their championship window. 5 years, pretty reasonable. That division itself is weakening. Mm-hmm. Two, 3 years. Big Ben's gone. The Ravens are kind of up and coming, but I think they're, in terms of their up and coming, they're behind the Browns. For me, the Browns, they got a good defense. They got what looks to be a really good offense. They have a good guy running the football operations. My only question mark is the coach. I think in 5 years, if their championship window 5 years, I think they can do it.
They can become the new New England Patriots.
Now, hang on. New New England Patriots. Again, in 5 years, I don't think Tom Brady's going to be around. I don't think Bill Belichick's going to be around in 5 years. So there will be a vacuum.
Yeah.
And
but it's hard
to tell, but if I would say the Browns have a chance of filling that vacuum based on where they're at.
Right. Okay. The new Patriots, the Cleveland Browns, do you agree? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I want to make a point when it concerns an interesting call that I had after I bid you all adieu on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Okay, real quick to close out the hour, I had a conversation right after I got off the air. I got an email from our front desk here at WKAR from that addressed a listener who had a problem with one part of our interview with Brian Nielsen from the Department of Animal Science. And I was a bit confused because the email noted that this caller, and he wants to be named or else I wouldn't be saying his name, but by the name of Rico. Rico had a problem with one snippet from Brian Nielsen during our chat, in which he addressed jockeys as being malnourished and uneducated. And I'm like, well, I immediately went back and said, okay. And he felt as though it was racist. So when I hear the R word, I'm like, all right, well, let me go back and listen to this. Did I overlook this? I couldn't have. I was doing the interview for 20 minutes. I went back and listened to it, and I got some points I want to make. So first of all, I want to play the snippet. We do have the snippet queued up. Alec, can you play that real quick?
And actually, I would worry about very seriously about his mental health. You know, some of these jockeys, the deal is if you look at them, most of them come from other countries. These days, the top level ones, it's so hard to make weight. You look at me and you're thinking, yeah, you're a little guy.
Yeah, how big are you? For those that can't see you, five, six, how many pounds?
I'd like to say 138 right now. I'm probably 140. That's higher than I want to be. I'm also a runner, and so I take my weight very seriously.
And what's the size, Brian, of an average jockey?
You know, somewhere for these thoroughbred jocks, probably 113, 115.
Yeah, they're really small.
Yeah. This is why I love the sport, because I'm too big to do it professionally. Ba-dum-bum-ch.
There you go, right?
The thing is, but oftentimes they come from other countries, some of them third world countries, because they've been malnourished, so they're smaller. Right. And so the thing is I have no idea why I was bringing that up, except...
we were just kind of making the point about, you know, the life of a jockey and the mental health
of
the jockey.
Yeah. So good. Sometimes I get going down the Yellow Brick Road, I lose my way, and somebody needs to bring me back.
But you're concerned about his mental health. Why?
Yeah, and the thing is so oftentimes they're not educated, and they might not have the support structure, you know, not necessarily their family around them and all that stuff. I'm going to guess this guy's going to, if he pays attention to social media at all, he's going to understand he's not a well-liked person. And we have seen jockeys that have committed suicide before.
Wow, really?
Just because some of them get mixed up with drugs and things like that. It's a hard life. And especially if you have to maintain weight, so, you know, you're starving yourself. It's not an easy job.
It kind of sounds like the life of a boxer, like a prize fighter. Even though you're not, you know, we look at horses as these prize fighters, right?
But a lot
of jockey
similarity.
Goes through, you know, some really tough strain.
Absolutely.
Life well. I didn't notice that.
I have a lot of them that are friends, and I've seen, you know, the lives. And now some of these guys live great lives, and, you know, they're living at the top of the world, and things are going great for them. But it can be a really tough life.
So that's the snippet that Rico addressed, and he felt like it was racist. So I thought he totally took it out of context. And the fact that the last three winners of the Kentucky Derby were from Latin America, Latin American jockeys, dominate the Kentucky Derby. You know, looking up at statistics when it comes to, you know, the education right there, it's not that great. You know, many communities are very impoverished. I just want to ask you guys, because I want to get another opinion here, and I apologize if it offended Rico, but I totally disagreed with him and totally think he took it totally out of context. Am I missing something here, Connor, real quick?
I don't think it's racist. I think it's just kind of stating there are some circumstances which suck and that are awful and are associated with certain parts of the world.
Alec, am I missing something here?
Yeah, I don't know what he's going at, to be quite honest, because,
okay.
I mean, I
just wanted to get another opinion there. If you felt offended, I said, I'm sorry if you felt offended, but these are facts that you can look up. And I'll piggyback on this to lead tomorrow's show. But again, Rico, I appreciate your call, appreciate your listenership, but think you definitely totally missed the mark on that. But hey, that's what opinions are for. All right. We'll see you Thursday. Be easy, people.